This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry, America's messenger of truth. So America, please open your truth book. Please open your King James Bibles to John chapter 6, verse 46, where we left off last time. John chapter 6, verse 46. Now, last time, Jesus was talking to a multitude of people in Capernaum, meaning the city of compassion, and they were gathered to him with their grocery bags. They had come for bread because they had just seen him on the other side of the water feed 5,000 men plus women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So they followed him and they came for some more bread, not for the bread of life. But he was also teaching in the synagogue, and there was some phony priesthood there. They are the Kenites, the descendants of Cain. They are the scribes and Pharisees who sit in the seat of Moses. And they were being very snarky to Jesus, and they were giving a bad time and say, you can't be the Messiah because you're the son of Joseph. You were born of that out of wedlock sex act there. And so they were putting him down. You know what Jesus did? Jesus just ignored them and began to think of his very elect, chosen from before the foundation of the earth, in the first earth age when Satan rebelled in our spiritual bodies. And he sent out a remnant in every generation, the very elect to the end. He began to brag on his elect. Obviously, it comforted his heart.
46, not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, and he hath seen.
Now, when he says seen, it's not like to see him physically. You know how when you understand something, you say, oh, I see, I understand. What he's saying is that you people, you phony preachers, you multitudes, you don't even know who I am. But I do have a remnant in every generation. And he had 12 disciples there, at least 11 of them understood. And remember, Jesus would say in another gospel, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father and I are one. So he says there's always a small group, and here at the end, the very elect, who really do know that Jesus is the living Word, Emmanuel, God with us.
Father, 47, verily, verily, I say unto you.
Of a truth, I tell you.
He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. 48, I am that bread of life.
Okay. Now, they're coming to him with their grocery bags. They want some more bread. Now, he's switching it to spiritual bread. But see, most people just come to Jesus for the stuff. But he's about to give them a spiritual lesson.
49, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead.
They had just asked him last time we studied this, give us a sign, Lord Jesus, that you're the Messiah. Why don't you rain manna down from heaven? Remember, manna was the food that Moses had there in Deuteronomy. It was called angel's food. And Jesus says, God gave you that, but that was just to feed your body. But he said, no matter how well you eat, I can eat all the great vegetables and fruit the Scott's produce place has, but sooner or later the body, physical body, is designed to die. So he's not talking about physical bread. They just don't get it. But remember, the majority usually doesn't get it. It's only a few that find the straight and narrow way. Few there be that find it.
50. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven.
I'm going to show you right now. I'm going to explain to you, anybody wants to listen, about the bread, says Jesus.
That a man may eat thereof and not die. 51. I am the
All right. I am the bread. At the burning bush, Moses said to God, "What's your name?" Now, God speaks Hebrew, so God said in Hebrew, "Aya, Asha, Aya, I am that I am. I am that I will become." So the great I am is standing before them, and only the elect know who he is. But you see, only the elect today know who he is. His imitators coming very soon in the sky, calling himself Christ, and the world will think it's the Savior. Only the elect will wait for the true Christ.
Which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh.
Now, in the natural, Jesus came to pay our sin debt. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Why the blood? The life is in the blood. So he said, "I am God. I'm the living word. I came down. I'm going to pay your sin debt. And I took on myself a flesh body." Now we're going to come back to that flesh, and I pray it's going to bless you.
"Which I will give for the life of the world." 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?"
Now you know by now that the word Jew is an incorrect word. The Greek word there is Eudas. It either means our beloved brother Judah, J-U-D-A-H, who is Hebrew like I am, there are 12 tribes, or it means a resident of Judea, which would be the Kenites, the descendants of Cain, Cain being the child of the devil. In this case, they are the Kenites, and they are sitting in the seat of Moses. See, the Kenites have taken over the United States of America, and people vote for them and don't even recognize who they are. And now they're permeating the church. They were taking over the synagogue, and they were criticizing the very Savior who created their liver.
53. And Jesus saith unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you."
Now Jesus is going to speak of eating his flesh and drinking his blood for a few verses, so we're going to let the Lord talk.
54. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. 55. For my flesh is meat, and indeed my blood is drink unto thee. 56. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him.
Now, what does he mean? Use the thing in your forehead. Jesus always speaks in parables. Even if he meant for you to literally eat his flesh, one man could not feed all of the people of the world to be saved. So we realize he's speaking in metaphorically as an allegory. Now, let's find out what his flesh was. We learned in 1 John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So see, God is the Word. God is not a human form or an object. God is the Word. And in Revelation, Jesus says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. I'm the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet." What do you do with words? You take the letters and you make words. What does word do? Word makes a sound. And what does sound do? Sound produces movement. Hallelujah. So see, God is the Word. Wrap this around your brain. Stop thinking of the pictures of man and something you can see. God is a spirit. He's a word. He's a sound. But it's not my words. It's not Shakespeare's words. It's not the President of the United States' words. It's God. He is the living Word. But look, the Word was in the flesh. Now, is he talking about his flesh? No. Look at me. You're looking. You see my hair. You see the way I look. And that's what you think is me. No, I'm not. You're not your flesh. There's a spirit inside of you. So what's he talking about? Who is the flesh? The Word became flesh. So what's he talking about? Eat his flesh. flesh. Let me give you an example. I have here an envelope. Pretend this envelope is the flesh, but there's something in here that we need to eat. Look, I have a precious strand of pearls. This is the main thing. This does not count. The flesh profiteth nothing. Do you understand? All right. Now, in Ezekiel and in Revelation, Ezekiel and John were told, eat the little book. So what's he talking about? Eat the Word of God. Now, when you eat food, you put it in your mouth and you chew. And children, with your mouth closed, okay? You chew, chew, chew. That's what you do. It's an analogy. Now, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, God says, Jeremiah, meditate in my word day and night. Meditate means to chew. Like a cow chews a cud. Max and Olivia, a cow has more stomach than one. You probably studied that in school. And so a cow chews and she swallows it and puts it in one stomach. She chews some more, puts it in another stomach. She regurgitates it back up and chews some more. But what does chew mean in the Hebrew spiritually? Talk, tell, say, speak, declare. So like you put food in your mouth and you chew the food so it'll go down and give you life and energy, the word is what he means for you to eat, but not one word. Matthew 4:4, Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Proverbs 4:20, my son, my daughter, attend to my word, incline thine ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, for they are life to those that find them. And so therefore, the word gives life. Now, what are we going to do here? What would be the word that you would eat? So this does not mean the flesh. Now we have the Lord's table, and we're going to have this on October 8th. We have it at the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Tabernacles, and any other time we need it for sickness or fast or different times. And we have that, but he's not talking about his flesh. We do pray, and I do pray when I prepare that. I ask the Holy Spirit to translate the bread into the body of Christ and to translate the juice into the blood of Christ, and he does this. But now, so you see, he says, if you eat his word, you have eternal life. Jesus is the word. I want everybody to say, and the word was made flesh. The word was made flesh. So when he says, eat my flesh, what does he mean? The word. See, the envelope's not important. The word in there, that's eat my word. All right, so we're going to do that. What would we have? What would we do? We would need to eat Genesis 1 through Revelation 22, every book, chapter, verse, and line. I offer it here. All right, now we're going to eat the word. Let us just say that you need some strength. Your body's tired, your spirit's tired, and you feel drained and you need some energy. Now, let's eat the word that would get into you and start bringing life back to your tired body, to your tired soul. Death and life's in the power of the tongue. It is written in Jesus' name. Please say it.
It is written in Jesus' name.
I go from strength to strength.
I go from strength to strength.
When I am weak,
he is strong.
He increases my strength.
My strength is renewed as the eagles.
Let the weak say, I am strong. Now, you have life word. You have eaten the word that will start giving you some strength. Now, we're going to talk about, he said, you got to drink the blood. We're going to have to drink the blood to wash it down. Because, see, you can keep the word in your head and still be lost. Do you know you can come here every Sunday and Wednesday and hear me on the radio and get the whole mystery, know everything I say? But if it never goes from your head into your tummy, you're still not saved. Did you know that? So we're going to have to learn how to swallow it. All right. Let's just say that something has been stolen from you. Maybe an opportunity, a job, a person, a thing. All right, let's eat the word that would restore there and bring life back to that lost thing. It is written in Jesus' name.
It is written in Jesus' name.
If a thief be found,
he shall restore sevenfold.
He shall give all the substance
of his house.
All right, now you've eaten that. That's going to start bringing life, restoration back. We're in the Jubilee time, restoration now. Now let us say that something catastrophic has happened. It is so traumatic that there's no way that anything good could come from it. All right, let's eat the word that would bring life to the thing that seems dead. It is written in Jesus' name. And we know that all things work together for good.
For
those who love God,
who
are the called according to his purpose. All right, you have eaten the word of God which brings life to that situation. Let us say you feel alone. It is written in Jesus' name.
It is written in Jesus' name.
He will never leave me,
nor forsake me.
There is a friend
who sticketh closer
than a brother. Now, when you eat natural food, you have to chew it, but you have to swallow it. And when the food gets into you, it has to be circulated. The blood takes the nutrients to every part of your body. And if you don't have the circulation of the blood, all that you chewed, and if you don't swallow it, will do you no good. So now let's drink the blood. It is written.
In Jesus' name.
Let the word
that
is spoken in this house today
be verified.
By the power
of the blood
of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, is that enough to give you eternal life? No, but it's a start. What must you eat? The little book, as Ezekiel did in John. Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. That is why so many Christians are so anemic and you don't ever bear fruit, you never witness, you never do any good, you're good people, you go to church, but that's all you do because you have not, some of you have eaten it, but you've never swallowed it. See, you don't hear it, you do it. When it gets in you, it works in you. Let's put it this way, it's working word.
57, as the living Father has sent me.
You notice he said living Father. He's talking about life here.
And I live by the Father.
All right. The Father's in me, I in him. The reason I'm alive is I'm in the Father. The Father is living.
So he that eateth me, he shall live by me.
All right. Again, Matthew 4:4. Man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But please understand, it's not just you saying it. People think they're saved because they go to church and even a place like here. Until you swallow it, until the word is circulated by the Holy Spirit and gets into your life bloodstream so that everything you do is led by that word, then are you saved. Be careful. Be careful. Intellectual salvation is not salvation. When it goes down in you and is circulated by the Spirit and the blood of Christ, there will be a new you. No matter how tired you are, no matter how weak you are, how many troubles you have, there's an energy about you because life is circulating in you, because the Word is life to all those who find it. Man lives by every word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, you are born again by the word of God. Remember, John says you must be born again. We explained that means born from above. So you see, he's not talking about his flesh body. The word is made flesh. The word is God. And so you eat the word, not a mental intellectual thing. But you swallow it until it permeates your being and everything about you is moved by the word of God. And Jesus says, my word endureth forever. So then, when you put the food in you, the food's in you. then Jesus, the living word, is in you, and that living word will never die. And if the word is in you and you're in the word, you have eternal life. I pray that this helps you. October 8th, the tone, come home. We have the communion. We have it very often in here at different times. I want you to understand what he means here. You can take communion all you want to, but if you've not eaten the word of God and swallowed it so it's circulating in your system, you have still not eaten his flesh or drunk his blood. Are you blessed?
Amen. 58. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Notice your fathers did eat manna and were dead.
I gave a manna there in Deuteronomy, but look, that just, it just sustained their body for a little while.
He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. 59. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. 60. Many of his disciples, therefore, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying.
Who can understand this, they said. Beside, they had their grocery bags. They came there for bread. Why do you come to Jesus? Jesus, give me this. Jesus, do this for me. Give me a promotion. Give me a job. Give me some money. Give me this. Do this. Do this. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. Go for the living word. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. These things will be added unto you. What things? Things that you need to do his work, period. He didn't add, promise you, one luxury.
Who can hear it?
Who can understand that?
61. And Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured.
He knows they're murmuring. He can't stand murmuring.
It. And he said unto them, doth this offend you?
Oh, baby, are you offended at this?
62. What if you shall see the Son of Man sitting up where he was before?
If this offends you, that I tell you to eat my flesh and drink my blood, what are you going to do at the judgment seat of Christ when you see the Son of God sitting on the throne of God at the right hand of the Father? The book of Ezekiel says, if you can't run with the footman, what are you going to do when the horses and chariots come along?
53. It is the Spirit that quickeneth.
Quickeneth, makes alive. How does that food get down and the blood cover it? By the Holy Spirit. See, it is the Holy Spirit that convicts you of sin. It is the Holy Spirit that is flowing through this handmaiden to pierce the core of you so that you understand that you must eat the word, and you can't know it intellectually. It will come into you so your whole life is changed. So a new creation, an eternal creation, and the Holy Spirit quickens and brings alive. Remember, it was the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead.
The flesh profiteth nothing.
The envelope here that I use, this is nothing. But what's important is the pearl within.
The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. 64, but there are some of you that believe not.
He knows your mind.
For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were.
Now, from the beginning, in the beginning, God. He's talking about in the world that then was, the first earth age, when we're all there. Remember, there was one third that followed Satan, the stars, children of God, minus the flesh, quickly. There was one third that was worst of all, lukewarm. Watch the show. They don't ever make a stand. They just stare and watch the show. Just give me a show. Just give me a show. Just give me a show. But there was one small group that fought for God. And so then he sent us all out one time in our flesh body. You are one of those thirds, and Jesus knows who that is. And so he knows in this crowd, listen, it's a wide, wide gate that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in there. I never go to a crowd. But it's a small, narrow way that leads to eternal life. And few there be that find it. Many are called, but few are chosen. Be one of the chosen few.
believe not, and who should betray him. 65, then said he, therefore I say unto you, no man can come unto me except it were given to him of my Father.
Now you know how at a wedding the preacher says, who gives this woman to be this man's wife? And the father says, I give her away. Now in the world that then was, in Romans 8:28, that little small group was justified. Foreknew is a married term. They did not betray God, they stayed spiritually married to him, justified. So that remnant has been given to do the Lord's work, to bring the oracles of truth in every generation. And so that is the wife of God. Now everybody else can remarry and repent and become the bride of Christ. Jesus said in John 17, I have lost none of those you gave me but the son of perdition. Another teaching for another time. So Jesus is aware that the maddening crowd are not the ones. But it's the second chance. Whosoever will may come. You could be the next best thing. You could choose him now. You could be the bride. And you could stand against Antichrist.
66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more.
They went out from us because they were not of us.
67, then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away?
As Shakespeare says, et tu, brute, you too, friend, are you going to leave also?
68, then Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life.
Simon Peter got it. Did you hear he said word? He didn't say anything about flesh. You have the words of eternal life. He got it. He got it. I pray you did.
69, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God.
Christ is Messiah. Another gospel would say, when Peter said that, Jesus said, and on this rock will I build my church, and not the gates of hell shall prevail against it. Not Peter, Petros, the rock, but the rock of the statement that Peter made, that the living word standing there, the word in flesh, we call him Yeshua Jesus, is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And if we eat his flesh and drink his blood, if we eat his word and are washed down with the word of God, the blood of Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. Praise ye the Lord. We'll begin right there next time. But right now it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to welcome my man of God twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing good. Very good, Miss Sherry. Great word today.
Thank you. Awesome.
We have our first question. It comes in from somebody who says, can you please explain Jesus' words in Matthew 10:38? Take up thy cross daily.
Take up thy cross and follow me. When you use the word cross, you think of a crucifixion, and crucifixion means to die. It means if you're truly a follower of Jesus, you must be willing to die for him. That's happening now. If ISIS knocks on your door and says, reject Jesus or your head goes, you must be willing to do as those orange jumpsuit people did, and they would not deny Jesus. It also means to be willing to be persecuted, to be lied about, to be gossiped about. Very soon the Antichrist is coming. The whole world will worship him. He's going to seem to be the Savior. Most of the church will think it is the Savior. He's going to call himself the Savior. Peace and safety cause crops to prosper. So you must be willing to somewhat be ostracized. Paul says, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. I die daily. Get off the throne and let Lord Jesus take over your life. It's the freest you will ever be.
Amen. He wants us to be dependent on him.
Yes, totally.
Our next question, how can one God be three in one?
The Trinity. All right. Moses said in Deuteronomy, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. One God operating in three different offices, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I'm going to use Scott, if you don't mind, here.
Okay.
Scott, husband, he's married to beautiful Angela. But Scott is the father. He's the father of Maximilian Burson. I love your name, Max. And Olivia. But Scott is also an employer. Scott owns the produce place in Suntree Farm, and he employs people there. Now, when he takes Angela out on a Saturday night date, he's still Max and Olivia's dad, and he still is the employer of the employees at the produce place. Now, when he takes Max and Olivia out to a high school game, he's still Angela's husband, and he's still an employer. When he's down there with working away at the produce place, he's still a husband, and he's still a father. Now, he never does vacate any of those offices, but he will focus on one of them at a time. Are you tired yet, Scott?
Not as tired as our Lord.
Although you wear many hats, don't you? That's a feather in your cap.
It is. I'll take it. Okay, our next question. Can you please tell us about the three earth and heaven ages?
Lord, that takes 7 hours, right. But I'll do my best. 2 Peter 3:6, the world that then was, the world that now is, the world to come. World is from a Greek word, eon, age. There was the first earth age, we're in the second earth age now, and when at the end of the millennium, there'll be the third heaven and earth age. Same heaven, same earth, different dispensations of time. In the first earth age, we were in a spiritual body, Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7. If the civil cord breaks, when you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. You were there before. And Satan rebelled, Isaiah 14, and said, I will be God. And one third of God's children betrayed him, and one third sat there like a knot on a log, lukewarm, but one third fought. So he brought in the second earth age to give everybody a second chance. That group that fought for him, stood for God, sent out to be the oracles of light, a very small group in every generation. And of course, in this second earth age, Jesus came and paid the sin debt. Now, at the end of the 1,000 years reign of peace, when Jesus and the elect are teaching right here on planet Earth, after the lake of fire, God is going to bring in the third heaven and earth age, paradise restored. That's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's very good for cutting 7 hours.
7 hours. You know, they say about poetry, a person can write a book 5,000 pages, but a poet writes it one line.
Right.
So.
Okay, our last question comes from somebody who says, what does the church need in these last days?
The church needs the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. John 17, 17, Jesus said, thy word is truth. We don't need one verse and 3 points, or a book about the book, or somebody's philosophy, or tradition of man which makes void the word of God. You heard the lesson today. We live by the word of God. We need Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. Every book, every chapter, every verse, every line. You would not go buy a secular book and turn over to page 140 and go to the third paragraph and read it and say you understood the book. So see, we need the truth so you won't be deceived by the soon coming deceiver, and so that you will be a victorious Christian and bear fruit for him.
Yeah, and exercise that power like you said tonight too, or you demonstrated.
Absolutely, awesome. The truth. The truth sets you free. Thank you so much, Scott.
Well,
appreciate you,
sir.
Thank you. Now I want all of you to come and live with me in Father's house forevermore. If you're not saved, the Spirit says come and the bride says come. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive all my sins.
Please forgive all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To enlarge your territory.
To enlarge your territory.
Thank you, I love you.
Thank you, I love you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, in a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. If you were saved, please call and leave that message. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask now That Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings, all through the airways, into bodies, into the heads, into the brain cells. Come back, memories come back, backbone, spine, central nervous system, pelvises, arthritis be gone, vertebrae, muscles relax, nerves be unpinched, blood be healed, hearts and lungs beat, ears hear, blind eyes see, deaf ears hear, lame legs walk, cancer be gone, fibromyalgia be gone, pain be gone, lupus be gone, feet and toes, missing body parts grow back. He sent his word and healed you. Oh Messiah, turn this bed of sickness into recovery. You sent your word and healed them. Thank you, with Jesus' stripes we are healed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Now, if you were healed, you'll want to tell me that also. Well, now it's time for your love line of the week. From my heart to your heart. We rob ourselves of the supernatural when we focus intently and solely on the natural. We rob ourselves of the supernatural when we focus intently and solely on the natural. Now, I want to invite all of you to come to my school each Sunday, 5 p.m., and each Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. Now, remember, anything you get is not yours to keep. If you get this truth and do not share it, it is a sin. It is so selfish. You have the truth and you hold it to yourself. He told you to go and tell. Text, email, call, invite people to Trumpet of Truth, and share the truth. Now remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." Now wait for me to play the piano and wait for my announcer, and God bless you, and I thank you for listening, and I pray that you were blessed, and I pray that you eat the flesh and drink the blood of Jesus Christ, and I love you, and I'll see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth. How can I find you?
Every day is a journal page. Every man holds a quill and ink. And there's plenty of room for writing in all we do and believe and think. So will you compose a curse, or will today bring the blessings? Fill the page with a rhyming verse or some random sketching. Teach us to count the days. Teach us to make the days count. Lead us in better ways. Somehow our souls forgot. Life means so much. Life means so much. Life means so much. Every day is a bank account, and time is our currency. No one's rich, nobody's poor. We get 24 hours each. So how are you gonna spend? Will you invest or squander? Try to get ahead or help someone who's under. Teach us to count the days. Teach us to make the days count. Lead us in better ways.
Listen to a thousand tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all. The Father's song, the Father's love, He sung it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heart. Heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's symphony. You are singing over me, the Father's song. Heaven's perfect mystery, the King of love has sent for me. And now you're singing over me, the Father's song. I have heard so many songs, listened to a thousand tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all. Thank you, Lord. The Father's song, the Father's love, you sung it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heart. Heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's symphony. You are singing over me, the Father's song. Heaven's perfect mystery, the King of love has sent for me. And now you're singing over me, the Father's song. Let us hear your song over us tonight, oh God. The song of your grace, the song of your love. Hear, sing it over us with joy. Heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's symphony. You are singing over me, the Father's song. The Father's song, the Father's love, you sung it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heart. You've written it in love, written it in grace, into the depths of our hearts. Father,
thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, WMIE.
Great thou art, how great. just hide.